Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guests tonight are a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner and a national political reporter for The Washington Post who've written a new book called Peril. Please welcome Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. Hey, fellas, thanks for being here. Bob, always good to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Robert, nice to meet you, having you on for the first time. I want to say, as I have confessed already, I am not fully finished with this book, and it's not because it's not a good read. It is really compelling. It's just that I have to close it every so often to quietly weep. And then start it again. And I mean that somewhat sincerely, because what really is upsetting about this is not even so much what you're reporting in here. Because having read Fear and Rage, nothing in here is surprising. While shocking and upsetting, the path was laid for the behavior that's in this book. But it is upsetting to read. And I was wondering, was it upsetting to write?
Yes, we were. Look, the theme here, and it was a discovery for us that this was a national security crisis. We kind of thought all of Trump was a domestic problem politically, but in China, Russia, and Iran, they said, "My God, what's happening here?" So they went on military alert, and if you think about it, the three calamities that can befall the United States. First, a war with a major power like China. Second is the use of nuclear weapons. And the third would be a question about the legitimacy of the president and the presidency. And we found all of those. And so it was a surprise, and it was one of that the problem of Trump extended globally. And if you get into what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley, did, he saw this, and he's getting intelligence that the Chinese think we are going to attack them. And that if you're in the military, that's a nightmare. That is the kind of hair trigger environment where there can be a mistake, where, as Milley told his staff, you will have what's called a first move, a Pearl Harbor. And so, bottom line, we were going through a secret national security crisis that the public didn't know about, we didn't know about as reporters, and we're supposed to find out those things as they happen, and the world didn't know.
The oath that federal politicians take is to preserve, protect the Constitution, and against all threats, foreign and domestic. And in a way, that greatest domestic threat was the president himself, because he was the locus of the lie that actually led to the crisis on January 6th. And Robert, I was wondering, you've been covering Washington for years. What was the most shocking thing that you uncovered in your research for this book, in your reporting?
Well, Bob mentioned his third point about the presidency and just how close this country came. We spent 9 months doing nothing except digging into this. How close the presidency came to maybe being thrown to the House of Representatives on January 5th, the night before the insurrection. President Trump has Vice President Pence in the Oval Office. And as you said, he opens the door later that night. He's listening to his supporters outside, and he's telling the vice president that evening, wouldn't it be cool to have the power to not certify an election? Wouldn't you want to do that? It was the ultimate temptation of power. You say this is a system based on the Constitution. It is. But the power that was in President Trump's hands in the executive branch was used and it almost weaponized, according to our reporting, and the way President Trump's advisors saw the situation.
I broke down in the monologue what was in the Eastman memo, essentially. Yes. What were the steps that have been laid out for Vice President Pence? The existence of that memo, what does that tell you about how serious of a threat this was?
Well, it's very serious because Trump, I mean, still to this day is saying the election was stolen. And that memo, the Eastman memo, says, hey, look, we have this power and Pence, as vice president, president of the Senate, can just get up there and say, oh, I'm confused or I'm not going to certify Biden and throw this country into a constitutional crisis.
This memo was presented to the vice president's team. Vice President Pence is being pressured to read this memo. On January 4th, President Trump has Eastman in the Oval Office and says, Eastman and Trump standing there talking to Pence, listen to Eastman, follow Eastman's advice. This is not some law review article being passed among aides. This is directly president to VP.
We have to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, I want to ask Bob and Robert about accountability. What happens to the people who perpetrated this lie? Stick around.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With the authors of Peril, Robert Costa and Bob Woodward. Let's get to accountability for a second. So all of this lie, all of this pressure being put on Republican leaders to not publicly call Biden the president. So you have a question of transfer of power there. A lot of them are actually going out there and saying, well, we should investigate whether there's a fraud here, even though from what I've heard, talking to other people on the show who work in Washington, that behind the scenes, nobody really believed it. Do you get a sense that the people who were perhaps not the president, not Eastman, not the tight inner circle in the White House, did the people in Washington believe that there was fraud, even the ones who were being sort of tacitly approving of the tactic?
No. And see, what's interesting is the two most conservative Trump supporters in the Senate, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Senator Mike Lee of Utah, big Trump supporters, they looked at Trump's claim. They said, we're going to investigate. They investigated and said, there's zero evidence to support that the election was stolen. And it's as we say, it's not Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer saying this. Mm-hmm. It's the Trump supporters.
But not publicly, just to him.
Yes.
Not publicly, undermining confidence in the election by the American people and the world.
It's important. Our reporting shows that the big lie, this idea of election fraud, was not some passing storm for American democracy. It's the climate right now inside of the Republican Party. These sources would come over to Woodward's house, to my house, and they would talk, some of these Republicans, for hours about how they feel they have no political capital to speak up. Even if they don't believe in President Trump's claims, they're not willing to go out there and counter him. That's the dynamic right now ahead of 2022 and ahead of 2024.
Bob, you've been in Washington a long time. You've reported on a long time. Have you ever seen a more cynical or destructive use of political gamesmanship?
Well, there have been lots of efforts going back to Nixon.
Anything close to this?
This was a subversion or an attempted subversion of democracy, and it never stopped. And here's the problem. It continues. A reviewer for the New York Times of Peril said it's like the epilogue is the beginning. It's the prologue. We are into it again. We think Trump's going to run and run again. He's got a lot of support. Yeah. And, you know, he could... We
Not to give away the end of your book.
Okay.
But the last sentence is, peril remains.
Yeah.
Okay, a little chill down the spine just now. And I think the peril will remain unless there actually are consequences. Here's my metaphor for this. On January 6th, a bunch of people who were addicted to all the lies stormed the Capitol. They were addicted to that drug that was being sold to them. But the drug dealers are not being pursued. And so the addiction will continue.
Okay. It's an interesting way to look at it, but 600 people have been charged in that investigation.
Sure.
And we still don't. Who really organized it? I mean, Trump was the spiritual godfather of the insurrection, no question about that. But to get 600 people to do the same thing is very unusual, takes a lot of skill, and so there's work to be done on that.
The people who voted to impeach President Trump in the Republican Party, those are the ones who are getting out of the GOP because of the primary races. When you say, where's the accountability for Republicans? They don't feel any accountability because they feel they're right at the red-hot center of where the GOP actually is.
So the only consequences are for the people who did the right thing?
To a certain extent, that's exactly right. But Mitch McConnell, again, he's the embodiment of the Republican Party. And you do this so well. So McConnell, this, you know, from Kentucky, and running the Republicans in the Senate, in the cloakroom, would gather around with senators.
And then they mock President Trump. And that comes through in the book. I mean, this is a story of Republicans, even if they're publicly with President Trump. Leader McConnell, one of his favorite jokes to tell in the cloakroom is, do you know why former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, he called President Trump a moron but denied it? Do you know why he was able to deny it? Because he called him an expletive moron.
Moron.
That's how you win Pulitzers, buddy.
I know, I gotta learn.
Just drop the F-bomb. Thank you, Bob.
Oh, well,
it's news.
McConnell did.
Yeah, exactly. It's news. It's okay.
Yeah.
We have to take one more break, but stick around because when we come back, I will ask them about a scene in the book that took their breath away.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Robert Costa and Bob Woodward. Now, Watergate started as a burglary and then became a test of presidential power. How do you think presidential power has changed over the past 4 years, and what view of presidential power is our new president, Joe Biden, faced with when he comes in?
Well, there's incredible concentration of power in the presidency. It's breathtaking. I've written books about 10 presidents. I didn't do one on Harding because I wasn't alive. But that's the only reason. And power increases with each president. And Trump as president, look at what he did. He defined not just the Republican Party or Washington or politics. He defined America in a way. And if he's got, 30 to 40% of the voters in the country support him, it's a real... So what we're hoping is that people... we approach this not from a partisan angle, but what happened? Why was Trump doing these things? Why was he having lawyers in there tell him things that just disappear when you investigate? People ought to think about that.
Let's think about this in a nonpartisan way. One of the things that's distressing to me is that when I read the book, I thought, I'm not sure even something this well-researched and well-explained and this explosive as the story you tell in this book. And this is, you record the interviews, right? This is, you've got everything in quotes here, you've got dead to rights, right?
Yes, we don't disclose who the sources are. We do them on what's called deep background. We're going to use everything.
But you have to know, like, Barr had to have cooperated with you, because at one point he says, thought Barr. How would you know what Barr thought unless Barr told you?
Yeah. Well, there are many ways. He could have a diary. We could...
You could be a witch.
We could be a witch.
We don't discuss sourcing.
You don't discuss sourcing. Okay. It was Barr. He
talked to you. Barr.
How many of the people talking to you for this book are trying to rehabilitate their own image by saying, I always thought it was bad. I pushed back.
Some, yes. No question about that. Mm-hmm. And the one courageous person who did something was General Milley. He said, I am going to... I mean, there is a scene in the book which took our breaths away, I think, when Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, second in line for the presidency, calls General Milley, and we have a transcript of it, and says, General Milley, you know Trump is crazy. He is a dangerously crazy. How are we going to control nuclear weapons? And Milley says, oh, don't worry, we have procedures and so forth. And she is pounding on him real hard. And it's a classic Washington moment, phone call, and to have a transcript. So you see not the BS, but what they're really saying to each other. And then after the call, Milley thinks, you know, she's right. We better worry about Trump. And so he calls in the colonels and one-star generals and admirals who into his office from the war room in the Pentagon.
People in the nuclear chain of command.
Yes, and not just nuclear, but any military action. And he says, all right, we have these procedures. Don't take a call from the president without me being involved. Do you understand that? And he goes around the room. Got it? Yes, sir. Got it? Got it? Got it? Yes, sir. And now he's not seizing power. He's putting in precautions to make sure if Trump's going to blow up the world or do something that's against American interest, or in fact against Trump's interest, he's going to at least be there at the table saying no.
One of the things that is striking to me about the last 4 years, as much as the former president wanted to be a strong man, what do you think those 4 years and the two books that you wrote and the book that you and Robert wrote together, Robert, I'll start with you. What do you think these last 4 years, and certainly the crisis at the end of the administration, actually did to American power in the world?
It certainly tested American power and whether America is going to be seen as the beacon for liberal democracy around the world. And it's still an unfolding story about what is the idea of America? What does it represent to our allies, to our adversaries? I mean, there might even be a fourth book in this series for you.
You know, we're thinking of this. You know, we...
Do you ever want to write a happy book, Bob? No. You ever want to just write like a children's book about a snail that meets a rabbit or something?
No, keep your head on the table because of what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
We are planning to do another book. We had Fear.
Right, Fear.
We had Rage. We have Peril. And the fourth one's going to be titled Colbert.
Bestseller. Pulitzer Prize.
We won't reveal any sourcing. No use of the first name.
Well, the book is Peril. It's available now. Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.